joined first by Alex Rossi. Alex, it's a little toasty here in Gateway today. How do you feel coming into this weekend?
Yeah, good. I mean, we tested here, so that's positive. We knew it was obviously going to be a one-day event, so it's gonna move pretty quickly once tomorrow starts. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes for everyone. It's kind of a new thing for us. But yeah, I'm excited to be here. It's always a great turnout. I'm happy we're doing a night race again. Racing short ovals during the day is kind of pointless in my mind, so I'm glad it's at night, and I think it's going to be an awesome race.
Out of curiosity for those who might not understand, what makes it more pointless to race during the day than at night on a shorter oval?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's hot. Track temps are really high, which makes it really hard to just follow cars. It's already difficult enough, so once the sun goes down, you lose 20, 30 degrees of track temp, which just makes the racing closer. I think it looks great. The cars look great under the lights. You got the sparks. The paint looks good. It's just more exciting. It's just awesome. So it's the way short oval racing should be.
So when you have practice at noonish, qualifying, it's still relatively hot out, and then you don't race till the night. How do you set up the car during the day to anticipate what's going to happen later in the evening?
Well, it's a bit of a unique one because you can't. It's a park for May race, so yeah. Meaning what you qualify is what you have to race. So track position is so important. Everyone's going to be racing a qualifying car, but it's the same for everyone. No one really knows what's going to be at night. Theoretically, everything just gets a little bit better and easier, so it's not like you have to anticipate things getting worse. So we're all in the same boat, and we'll see how it goes.
Do you think we'll see a lot of passing here tomorrow?
I think the night will help. I think Firestone brought a softer tire as well, which will help. So I think it'll certainly be a better show than we had last year on the doubleheader. Whether we'll be back to 2017, 2018, I don't know, but I think it'll definitely be a step in the right direction.
Awesome, yeah. Awesome, man. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Alex.
Yeah,
see you guys. All right, Alex.
Joined next by Ryan Hunter-Reay. Ryan had a good result a couple weeks ago in Nashville. Back at a track that you've had success at in the past. You looking forward to this weekend? Looking forward to a night race again?
Yeah, I love short oval racing. It's one of my favorite forms of racing. And can't really call it this place too short, but it is tight. You got a tight radius corner here in turn one, two. And, getting back under the lights, it's what IndyCar is all about. So definitely good to be back here in St. Louis.
For those who aren't familiar with this track, how would you describe, turn one and two versus turn three and four?
Oh, man, turn one and two feels like a U-turn, and turn three and four just feels like it never ends, so they're quite different.
All right, so, we've heard you talk about the future and changes are coming. What is your time meant to be at Andretti for the last 12 years, and B, is it hard to not kind of reminisce over these last handful of races before the next chapter in your career comes?
Yeah, I mean, I'm 40 years old. I've had a very long and successful career, and I've been with Andretti for 12 years. I mean, I'm not sure of any other driver than Dixon who's been somewhere longer. So it's been absolutely a great run with DHL, and really appreciate all their support over the years. And I'm looking forward to a new challenge leading into 22.
Awesome. So let's wrap it up with one final question here from me. We've got, the oval here, then we've got a couple road courses to end the season. If you're picking one that, hey, I'm going on the podium this race, you're rolling off the truck confident between Portland, Laguna, and Long Beach with Mr. Hinchcliffe tickling his ears behind him right now. Which is the one you're most looking forward to?
I'll take it. Success at any one of them, but it'd be great to do it here. Long Beach would be special as well. That's kind of where our whole chapter started with Andretti Autosport, winning there in 2010.
Awesome, man. Well, good luck.
All right, thank you.
We're joined now by James Hinchcliffe. James, it's been a roller coaster year, but you're going into a track that I'm pretty sure you've had some good results at in the past. Does that make it a little easier to just kind of focus on not what's happened, everything this year, as your teammate tickles you now in return?
I enjoyed it.
No,
I was letting him do it.
You're into this.
Get this one out. Get this one now.
Is it hard to focus when you get tickled? Let's start with that.
No, I like it. I wish Hunter-Reay could sit in the back of the car with me and just tickle my ear all day.
Those are the two-seaters, James.
Yeah, all right. With the leather helmets.
Are you going to drive the two-seater through Indy and tickle the person in front of you or behind you?
It'd be hard to do that.
I didn't really think that one through.
No, it's all right. It's we're spitballing here. Yeah. We're throwing things at the wall, seeing what sticks.
That's not it.
That did not. That is sliding all the way to the floor. No, honestly, you know, we've I've been doing this long enough that I've had decent races at pretty much every track.
Yeah.
I think Portland's the only one on the schedule so far I can say I've literally never done well at, because I kept getting involved in first corner incidents in the few years we've been back.
Yep.
Previously in my career, I'd never finished worse than second there. So actually, even that place, I got a lot of good memories at. But yeah, no, I mean, it's nice to know every week we're coming to a place where we've run well in the past, and so it's just a function of executing on that weekend. You know, we've, like you say, we've had a bit of a roller coaster. We've had some really big struggle weekends that we weren't expecting. We've had some strong weekends that get derailed for reasons outside of our control as well. You know, it's just kind of been one of those years. But we had a test here a couple weeks ago, and it went pretty decently. And tight format, you know, we'll see how it works out. Hopefully we get to qualify, because if we start on points, I'm kind of screwed before we even get going. But yeah, we'll see how it goes.
So when you have something like a one day, and I said this to somebody earlier, you know, your practice is, I don't know, noon, qualifying is a couple hours later, the race is a couple hours later. How do you, A, stay, like, hydrated in one day, especially because it's, you know, very hot? And B, how do you stay mentally sharp with any curveballs that Zay throws at you? Because you don't have time to, like, you know, sleep it off. Like, it's coming a couple hours later.
Yeah, these days are tough. You know, there's no doubt about it. And especially when it's a night race, you know, because like you say, first practice isn't until noon.
Yeah.
Racing at 7:45 or whatever it is. It's not even like a one-day show where you're on track at 9 o'clock for warm-up and then, you know, and then you're still done by 5 o'clock. Here, we haven't even started our race at 5 o'clock. So it makes for a really long day. Transitioning between practice mode, qualifying mode, race mode, all in that short time frame is definitely a challenge. It's a Parc Fermé race, so trying to find that right balance in the setup between qualifying and the race, huge challenge. So all in all, these days they're mentally exhausting, they're physically challenging, and that's not just for us. The crew guys as well, they're getting up early, working on cars in the heat all day, still have to perform in the pit stop. So it's a big ask for everyone involved.
So do you prefer double headers, or do you prefer all one-day events?
Oh.
Double header ovals, even, versus double headers.
Well, so I've always been very publicly against double headers.
Yeah.
So I feel like I have to go with the one-day events, okay. Even though that's also, like, not ideal.
Not ideal. The lesser of two evils.
The lesser of two evils. Yeah, I would definitely go with... I just don't believe in double headers. So I'm gonna go with one day events. Okay. Much as it pains me to say it.
The answer is C. None of the above.
Yeah, exactly. Go back to how we used to do it. That's how AJ did it. Dang it! It still works.
When can we go to Michigan?
So you read Facebook comments too?
I don't. I know. I just know that that's just a generic. Oh yeah, and I avoid a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, that's probably the safe thing to do. We had some fun this morning on Twitter.
Oh, no.
So
I heard you got caught up in the Alanis King.
I still have
Chris
no idea
Angel.
What that is. I joined some. There's some new thing
Spaces.
On Twitter. Spaces.
Yeah,
thank
I
you.
Was there. Yeah.
I don't know what I was doing. I just saw it. I'm like, what's this? And I clicked on it, and they're talking racing, and someone's like, let's bring Hinch in. I was like, what?
Yeah.
So I flushed the toilet and I jumped on and right.
Yeah.
And then I left. I had to walk my dogs. Honestly, that's why I left. And then I started getting harassed on Twitter about Chris Angel out of nowhere.
So there's a thing.
I assumed there was a thing.
There's a thing. It's a big involved. It is a big thing. It's a big thing. But you, yeah, everybody has to rate him.
Why him?
It's a whole thing.
Yeah, you're right.
We don't have enough time in this fair. Open to try to that's delve fair. Into why that's
yeah.
a thing.
I gave him a 2.
Perfect.
Which, like, is in U.S. from Canada, it's like a 1.68 yeah. probably.
Is it 1 to 5 or 1 to 10?
1 to 10.
So my question, because I was not listening, but Shannon texted me that you and Andy Lally were talking
oh, yeah.
about the the road course.
It was me. All for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
No, drivers are idiots.
I'm an IndyCar guy. Yeah. So I'm like, nope, she's going to stand.
So we got some blowback for pretty much agreeing with what you said this morning. Or what you said the other day. So what is your opinion on the curb debate?
If it's the tracks.
Yeah.
If it's the tracks.
How do you politically put it?
Because what you said, okay. I wholly agreed with. The right. You know, like as drivers.
If there was a wall there, you would have to figure out a way to not hit that wall.
Exactly.
Mic drop.
Right. Like there are two sides to the story. I understand and get both. You don't want to put something out there that's just going to wreck cars if somebody gets in a bad spot. But like, you also don't want to put yourself in a spot that could end up bad. So you.
But also, two other series had ran that same track and that same corner with no issues.
It's like I said, in the Indy cars, we don't have those curbs. But even the flat, like 10-millimeter curbs, if you hit them with four wheels, you are going airborne. We saw it at the start of the race issue with McLaughlin. We saw it last year with Piggott. So you just know you can't do that. And so you try not. Now, those guys bump and bang and force each other into situations more often than we do. At the end of the day, guys, it's a team. So, like, the driver shouldn't be trash talking the track should be working with the driver, and we can all just figure it out together. It's the most Canadian answer you've ever heard. But like, we don't need to blame anybody. We just need to work together and make it better and come up with a compromise and deal with it.
All right, we're gonna sing Kumbaya, so we're gonna end the recording there, and thank you very much.
We'll get a perfect fire going, and
a ukulele.
Oh, sorry, guitar, and then we do Wonderwall.
Oh yes.
Yeah. I'll get the marshmallows. Perfect. We'll call it a day. Okay. Best of luck this weekend.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, guys.
This is our show.
We are now talking with Rinus VK about our new giraffe show, which is not at all serious, but Rinus, you're going back to an oval for the first time since May. How excited are you to be here? Night race, so should be a close battle, and you've got your boss is your teammate who's been pretty damn good here in the past.
Yeah, definitely. I like the track, and it's fun. It's hot though. Good thing we're racing at night, but I think it's gonna be just a special race. First oval since Indy, so first short oval of the season, so, and the only one, I guess, yeah. But no, it's gonna be fun. I think there's gonna be many people trying crazy strategies, and you know, I think it's definitely gonna be a cool race. We found in the test like a month ago, the track's a little bit different than last year, so like track grip and everything. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, I'm excited.
How did the test go? Are you feeling like a one-day show with the test is enough to have a rocket ship and get up there?
We had some stuff we wanted to work on, so it was definitely not perfect, which I'm happy with.
Sure.
It's like, it was still...
You learned then versus... Yeah.
It was a decent test, and we could still improve. So we really know what we need, and we also worked hard on the simulator, and I think, especially this track, it's really good with, set up on the sim. It's really good for, like, on track, so... That's definitely very nice that I can do that, and I'm very ready for this race.
How often do you work? Do you do sim work?
Most of the time, like the week of the race. Okay. Like it's either Monday or Wednesday before the race. So we always like to do that. But now in the West Coast, because everyone's kind of gonna stay there.
Yeah.
We just have one sim day before Portland, and that's going to be it. Yeah, so that's going to be a little different, but I think, you know, I know all those tracks except Long Beach, but it's just Long Beach, right? So
yeah, it's just Long Beach, just one track.
It's just a beach, it's very long.
So we'll wrap it up with one final question here. If you were going to name Ed Carpenter after a giraffe, what kind of giraffe would it be? I also don't know if there's multiple types. I don't know. I'm making that up. Listen, we're just having fun here. It's like 9,000 degrees.
That's a hard question. I did find out, like, I was, for some reason, Googling, like, every person in the team, like, his first name.
Yeah.
Like, that could fit into a vegetable name.
Okay.
And then I Googled, what vegetable has ED in it? Because I thought Ed found out that means erectile dysfunction. So... I guess.
Probably
not gonna go with a cucumber.
Edamame.
There we go.
Nice recovery there. We've got some vintage cars on track, so we'll wrap it up. Best of luck tomorrow, man.
Yeah, thank you.
We're joined by both of the Foyt drivers, as I forgot to hit record the first time. Dalton, your first time here in IndyCar. You had a test here last month, and you also have an experienced teammate. What are you expecting tomorrow?
You know, I think the expectations really are just kind of, you know, see how things shake out when we pull roll the cards off the truck, see how our balance is like for the long run. You know, it's an important balance between trying to figure out, you know, if you want an all-out qualifying car or for the longevity of the race being a sort of an impound race. So, you know, we'll have to make that decision with the team and see how it goes. But when we were here for the test, you know, I think our overall balance was okay, but we didn't quite have the 1-2 lap qualifying pace that we, you know, we're really looking forward to get towards the front of the field. So that'll be something that we're working on for sure.
Sebastian, you've been here probably a few times. You had a good result a couple years ago, I think. It was in the top five.
Yeah, I mean, we qualified really well in 19, and we were almost on pole. But unfortunately, we ran all day, all night at the front, and then just getting back up to speed on cold tires, the front took off and got in the marbles and hit the wall coming off a four. So that was a rough end, and kind of robbed Santino of his first win, probably, because both cars were right up there all night, so that was a bit of a sour taste. But yeah, I mean, definitely a place where I know what I can do, and you know, hopefully we can get the car in the window.
You've got a jam-packed day tomorrow. Everything's within pretty much 7 or 8 hours. How do when do you switch from qualifying mode to race mode, or you know, when in practice does that determination switch, and how quick is that switch? How quick does that switch need to be to get everything ready?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously you need fresh tires to do quali sims, so it's fairly early on that you're going to do the quali sims and then do the long runs with those tires. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty much going to be, cut in two, and the first part is probably going to be mostly about, you know, kind of putting a baseline in the car, seeing where you're at baseline-wise, balance-wise, trying a couple of things, do a couple quali sims, and then some race running.
So we'll let these cars go by here real quick. Dalton.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age, because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run, where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.
We're headed towards the end of 2021. We know what your teammate here wants to do for 2022. Have you had advanced discussions with the teams? How are things looking for next year?
Yeah, there's no major announcements right now. You know, we're kind of in the early stages of those sort of conversations for next year. You know, would love to be back full time with the guys and with the AJ Foyt team and see if we can keep this program growing. You know, it's been a steady improvement, I think, during the year, and it would be nice to see that momentum continue. But like I said, no major announcements yet.
When would you hope something like that is done in the offseason? I know realistically these things often go, you know, right before spring training and whatnot. So, but when would you both like to get next year finalized? I mean, other than today?
Yeah, I think you would ideally have it more or less wrapped up, or at least in the stage where you're just kind of, you know, massaging the last bits of the contract or deal before the end of the season, because then you can kind of go into off-season testing sort of right away and know what your plan is for the off-season. But you know, that's not necessarily always the case. But that's kind of what you're hoping for, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the earlier the better for sure. But I think you want to get it done before Thanksgiving, pretty much. You know, just so you can start the end of the year and you know, just whatever change happens or not, then you know what you got, and then you're going to holidays having a firm plan in place.
Awesome. Well, best of luck this weekend, guys.
Thank you.
Joined now by Alex Pillow. I almost hit the wrong button again. Now I'm paranoid that I'm going to hit the wrong button when I hit record.
Are you sure it's the right one?
So, obviously, starting off the weekend, before you even get here with a grid penalty because of the engine issue, on a track like Gateway that's kind of a short oval, does it make it even more difficult, or are you pretty confident in the team and the car that you'll be okay come race time tomorrow night?
I mean, I'm sure we will be okay, but it makes it more difficult always. I mean, even if you have the fastest car, you always want to start P1. And obviously, we know we will start worse than what we're going to qualify. That's 100% for sure. So it's okay. Nothing we can do now. The good thing is that we have 260 laps to try and make up those 9 spots. And hopefully get to the car to victory lane. But yeah, I think with the experience I had this year in ovals, 2 races at Texas, 1 at Indy, I think we should be in good position.
So a lot of people have their opinions on the grid penalties and whatnot. What are your thoughts that you can say as we stand here surrounded by IndyCar officials?
They are bad. I mean, I understand that when you change an engine to try and get an advantage because you want less miles and you basically want to push that engine more to the limit, let's say get more power, I understand that you get a penalty for that. But when you blow up an engine because there's a mechanical failure and you lose already a race where that was like 30 points and they put you again 9 spots, maybe it's not the best thing, but it's IndyCar. It's the rules, so we will just follow the rules and not complain. So that's what we're going to try and do.
Now, you on the radio last week had mentioned you were running on lean because there was already an engine issue early in the race. Did you think early on we might be in trouble today, or did you think you could hang in there until the end?
Man, you never know. And on racing, you always know until the flag is not down, you're not done and you're not safe. So you are always ready for something to happen. We obviously took that away from our heads and kept on pushing. That's why we were catching the leaders at that point. But I was ready, man. When that blew off and I saw smoke, I was like, okay. Yeah, I mean, it was...
Here we are.
Yeah, like, I knew it was coming. I didn't know if it was coming, like, in 10 laps, 20 laps, in 2 races. So it's okay. It's nothing that we could have done differently. We need to take into account that we're putting the tires to the limit. We're putting every part of the car, the engines, into the limit. So that's racing, and sometimes happen. You have things that go wrong, but it's okay.
Okay, so since you're going to start with your grid penalty anyway, when you go to qualify tomorrow, do you want to try to be more for a race car? Because you're not going to have a whole lot of time in between, right? Because it's all in one day. So you want to try to qualify as high as you can, even though you're going to get that penalty, or you want to just, or you don't want to tell me your trade secrets?
No, it's not going to change much. But I mean, it's not the same to start 10th, than if you start 17th.
Yep.
If you start 10th, it's okay. You're there. Nobody makes crazy moves normally. Normally, you never know. But when you're 17th. Or 22nd, you know that there's more crazy stuff going on there. So we want to qualify as high as possible, and qualifying as high as possible is going to make your race car better. That's always happening. So I'm comfortable with our race pace, all the races, Indy 500, Texas, Barber, all the races that we've been. So yeah, I'm focused on qualifying now, try to get the most of it, and if we can start 10th, that would be a good day. If we can not start there, but it's okay, we'll try and make
11th
that
is fine too,
yeah.
Right,
I mean, yeah, 11 would be fine as well. So I want to qualify for sure. Hopefully the weather doesn't prevent us from qualifying, but yeah, let's see.
So if the weather prevents you from qualifying, you would technically start on pole and drop to 10th. So maybe you do want it to rain.
No, because then my competitors will be starting 2nd, 3rd.
Okay, good point, good point.
It's not going to get worse.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be the worst thing for me. Like, yeah, I would start 10th, but my competitors would start like...
2, 3, 4.
Yeah, I mean, like, so, I would not want that to happen.
This is why we're not race engineers.
Just well, no.
this is why I'm holding the microphone and not the race car.
The engineers were like, oh, you would be happy tomorrow as well, like 20 minutes ago.
Oh, now I feel better.
Yeah, so, and I was like, no, man, like, then all the competitors will start in the 1st and 2nd row, so I don't know if that's a good thing for me. So, I mean, we don't care. Like, at the end, the race is the race, 260 laps. Who cares who starts P1? If you have a good car and a good day, good pit stops, you can finish up on a win. And we saw that on previous years here with Sato, Tony, more people that even struggling at the beginning, you can make up some good spots.
Awesome, man. Well, good luck tomorrow.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
We are wrapping up a toasty media bullpen with Romain Grosjean. Obviously, you tested here last month, and you're here, and everything is jam-packed into one day tomorrow. Does that add to the stress of your oval debut, or is it you know, you're just going along with the flow?
Well, we get it over sooner than later, you know. I think that's the way to see it. It's less stress of a few days. It's all condensed. I think it's just ovals, you know. It's different way of apart Indy 500, where you get 2-3 weeks to prepare. Every other is a short event, so I'm ready for it. I'm happy to be here. I need to learn so much tomorrow during the practice, the quali, the 260 laps of the race. Obviously, as a racer, I want to do well, but I think what's most important is to come out of the event knowing much more about ovals.
What changed your mind about doing ovals?
Well, Gateway was always on my radar. I didn't say officially from the beginning, but in some pitch is when I told Dale Coyne that I wanted to do Gateway, which I said Gateway at the time. He was like, what are you talking about? I said, sure, nobody. I said, Gateway. I said, yeah, Gateway, that's what I say. Anyway, that's when I decided to do it. So it was actually quite early on. And it's just, you know, it's a shorter oval. I felt more comfortable coming here. And we'll see where we get on.
Yeah.
Oh no, I lost my train of thought. Okay, I got it. So, despite not racing in Texas and the Indy 500, you're about 6 or 7 points back in the Rookie of the Year standings, which is incredible just to think about as it is. And now you're in the rest of the races the rest of the year, as is Scott McLaughlin. Is there do you want to win? Like, would that be something that would be like, hey, I want to get this? And B, did you expect to be here at the beginning of the year with a question like that?
Is there a trophy for it?
That's a great question. There has
if
to be.
If there's a trophy, yes. If not, I know.
If not, we'll make one.
Thank you. I mean, you know, here today, I do feel like a rookie.
Yeah.
On the other racetrack, it's hard to say I'm a rookie after 180 Grand Prix in Formula One. Yeah. I'm amazed by Scott's season, really. He's super good at ovals, so he may take some points this weekend. I've got 3 races though to get it back. I think I'm more looking at a classification, general classification. Detroit, we got really unlucky, and Nashville as well. And if those 3 races would have gone as they should have, I would be up there. Even missing 4 races, you know, I would be up there. So, you know, I knew coming in the season if I wasn't going to do every race, it was going to be tough. But if I can put it off, I'll be happy. But again, I think the rookie of the year for me is Scott McLaughlin. Whatever it says, I got it wrong all the time.
Scotty Mac, and it's fine.
You know, I say McLaughlin. Matt, our other co-host, says McLaughlin.
McLaughlin.
You say it one
It's McLaughlin. It's like a broken gearbox. McLaughlin.
We also hear the TV pronounce your name like 64 different ways, too.
I'll give you one tip. Faster you say it, easier it is. Romain Grosjean. If you say it fast in one word, it works well.
I also took 6 years of French.
Yeah, I so didn't.
But if you say it's going Romain Grosjean, then it gets messy. So Romain Grosjean, there you get
word.
It.
It's all one word. Yeah, exactly. You're on out. There you go.
Well, let's wrap it up there with a little French lesson. And guys, I hope you enjoyed the episode.
Thank you. Merci beaucoup.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.